I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. It is Francisco Rojas, and we are here morning after the Phillies get shut out once again by the Houston Astros, this time 2-0. And yeah, just the, big thing, offense, clearly you do not score runs, you do not bring home runners in scoring position when you have those opportunities. It's not going to bode well for you unless you score even one run and your pitcher or pitchers throw a shutout, which is, look, you're not going to go into games hoping or expecting. Well, I guess you hope in a way, but not really. Well, expecting your starter and your relievers to give up no runs. Well, the Phils do this in back-to-back games. They apparently were hoping, well, no, not even. Didn't score a run. So, well, what does that even matter? So, obviously, you can't score. You don't score runs. You're not going to win baseball games. That was apparent in this series. Apparently, the Phils just decided to do the opposite of what they did in the Mets series. And not score runs in either of these baseball games, and specifically looking at last night as the Phillies lose 2-0. So going to start with last night's game thoughts and our observations. And then also we need to get into Dave Dombrowski was on Jason Stark and Doug Glanville's podcast on The Athletic. And he talked about a lot of good stuff in that podcast, and really a lot of maybe insight into what Dave Dombrowski is going to do at this trade deadline. So there's a lot to talk about from the pod on his appearance with Jason Stark and Doug Glanville, and then some injury updates for you, and we will preview today's game against the Houston Astros. So first thing, clearly from last night's game, is the offense, again, not scoring a run. It's not like they didn't hit at all. They did have 7 hits. Schwarber went 2-for-4. Brandon Marsh went 2-for-3. Marsh continuing to just, you know, be better the last couple of months coming back from injury. Look, the problem was, you had runners in scoring position, what was it, the 5th inning? And then you also had, I mean, really where this game was lost was the 8th inning, where you had bases loaded and you had Boehm, right? You had Boehm and Castellanos come up and strike out back-to-back. Brian King striking out Boehm, and then Castellanos striking out. So Boehm striking out on a 2-2 count, Castellanos striking out on an 0-2 count, both not great pitches and still swinging out of the zone. And that was where the game was won, because then the next half inning, Victor Caratini for the Houston Astros goes way yard out to left field, basically almost where Pujols put that thing back in 2005, that was 05, right? Yep, pretty sure it was 05. It was 423 feet out there. Not quite where Pujols put it, but in that stratosphere. And that was the game right there. Bottom half of the 8th, Victor Caratini puts it out there. You had a chance to score the half inning before, and, you know, Houston would eventually get Josh Hader in there and get another save this year and take the series already. Second thing, observation from this game was, look, another great start from Zach Wheeler. Unfortunate that Trey should have been an error. I don't know if they changed it to an error or not, but should have been an error where was hit to Trey Turner and goes right under his glove. I mean, it wasn't the most routine, easiest play in the world, but it was still a play that you should make as a shortstop, and Trey would end up making a really good play later in the game. And it was like almost like the complete, not almost like the complete opposite, but it was a play where he went to his left, makes the play, and it was a hopper to Alec Boehm, and it was a really good play. But Trey doesn't make that play, and that ends up being the run that Houston scores in that first inning to give the Astros that 1-0 lead. And besides that, Turner probably should have made that play, and Wheeler ends the day with a zero spot in the earned run column instead of one earned run, which goes to the docket, which is why I hate having these scores judged by a person when I don't know. It's stupid. It's dumb. But Zach Wheeler still ends up with a really good line. Did have three walks once again, so the command wasn't all the way there, but still Zach Wheeler being Zach Wheeler, going an inning further than he did against the New York Mets last time around, and did his job, tell you that. Zach Wheeler doing his job as always. And then last thing from the game, Matt Strom, I don't want to say he's necessarily concerned to me where he like sucks this year. He doesn't suck. He's been really average since about May. I mean, his ERA is somewhere in the fours since May. And if you're going by his splits by month, I mean, ERA wise, it was 3.6 in April, which was fine. Like, I didn't expect him necessarily to be exactly what he was in last year, where he was one of the more dominant relievers in baseball. And then, May, 4.76 ERA, 4 ERA this month so far. Strom has just been pretty just average the last couple of months. And really, again, I mean, you probably know how I feel about the Phillies heading into this trade deadline. I don't think they should buy. I still don't believe. I don't believe in this team one lick. But probably a lot of people want them to buy, and Dombrowski's going to buy. And I mean, it would feel a little better about getting relievers. If Matt Strom just needs to be better. I don't even know if it's about that. I think just Matt Strom just needs to be better. So I would like Strom to at least be where he was, when the Phils got him a couple of years ago, and even in the years prior, with Boston, and maybe looking at his career arc, he's kind of been up and down. So maybe he's reverting a little bit. I'm not really sure, but he's had some injuries in there as well. So I would just like to see Matt Strom be better. Needs to be better, especially for the back end of this bullpen that needs him and just needs to be better. I would like to see where he was a couple of years ago for the Phillies, where you could trust him a lot more than you've been able to trust him, I think, this year so far, as he gave up that home run to Caratini last night. That was a blast. And Phils need him to be better. So that was the game last night. And unfortunately, again, you don't score runs, you are not going to win games. So the podcast. So Dave Dombrowski was on the podcast with Jason Stark and Doug Glanville, and had a lot of interesting things to talk about. And there were a bunch of things to take away from the pod. And I want to start with necessarily the biggest thing, I think. I guess it's the what we're looking at with the trade deadline. And And seems like there might be, and he was asked about, you know, what he's planning on doing at the deadline this year, and kind of alluded to when he was in Boston with the Red Sox in 2018, and that team, you know, ends up winning the title. And he alluded to them as far as their starting pitching went and how they used, you know, some of those starting pitchers in the bullpen come postseason time. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, they were huge for them in the postseason. Remember, Chris Sale ends up getting the final out of that World Series. I mean, some of those guys did start, but some of those guys were used out of the bullpen as well. Chris Sale started 3 games, but didn't start every game. I mean, Rick Porcello was used out of the bullpen. Eovaldi, David Price, who it looks like he did start most of those games in those playoffs. But just looking at, because that's been a lot of the talk this year, right? There's been so much. There's so much starting pitching with this Phillies team. The depth with, you know, Walker, Ranger, possibly Mick Abel, Andrew Painter come up. There's so much, you know, depth that it's, I think we're going to expect maybe this Phillies team, and it's been, you know, it's been talked about the first few months of the season, where this Phillies team, they're going to be used. I mean, we're going to see Ranger probably go to the bullpen. He didn't say which names. I mean, he made the joke that Zach Wheeler, you could pencil Zach Wheeler in as a guy that you're probably not going to see go to the bullpen. But so he's kind of left this for speculation. But I think it's a given that we're going to see what the Red Sox did in 2018. And
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Again, hopefully, I guess, if you're a Phillies fan, a postseason run, I mean, the Red Sox made a run and ended up winning the World Series. I would love to see that, but it looks like that's how it's going, how they're going to be used. Whether it's Ranger in the bullpen, Taiwan's already there. Mick Abel, Andrew Painter. I mean, Dombrowski's already has already alluded to, you know, the fact that he's been confident in you know, even though Mick has been, you know, maybe not, at least against the Mets, he wasn't all that great, but I'm interested to see from this podcast. I'm really interested to see what this team's going to look like, you know, come postseason time. Really interested to see, because look, you've heard me talk about it. I want them to sell. I really do, but they're not going to sell. We all know that, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen come postseason time for this team. And I was trying to look for it here. I thought that I read that Dombrowski said, I thought I heard Dombrowski say, yeah, Dombrowski definitely said that also as far as, so he talked about Bryce Harper, and they would really not prefer to move him back to the outfield. That if they had to move Bryce back to the outfield, they would rather not do that. They would rather not either trade for a first baseman at the deadline to move Bryce to the outfield, or, you know, probably off season, come off season, I would think too, moving back to the outfield because they like him at first base. They Dombrowski said that they like what Bryce has given them defensively, and he does value that. He talked about adding an outfielder at the deadline, a right-handed bat. Stark and Glanville asked him about it, and he said he does value the defense. Does value the defense. So that is something to take into consideration here. So we're not going to see Bryce move back to the outfield. And also, he did say in the pod that he's comfortable. Sounds like he would be comfortable with bringing Justin Crawford up. Like 99.9% sure, because I was listening on the way here, that he's comfortable with bringing Justin Crawford up. Now, I have been kind of against that. And that's not because I like Marsh or I like Rojas, but because I've seen what's happened to players in the Philly system in recent years, and like the last 5-6 years with Scott Kingery, Spencer Howard, guys coming up, and maybe the scouting department and the development staff was different. But I just have gotten PTSD with the way certain guys have come up in their development. Maybe had gotten a little, trying to think of the word, but screwed with. I'm not sure. But I just want to make sure, you know, Crawford is one of our top prospects, that you bring him up, you do the right thing with him, don't mess with him too much. But if Dombrowski is confident, I think I wouldn't mind seeing Crawford being called up. There's merit to that. He talked about right before Mick Abel was called up, I think a couple weeks prior, that he was comfortable and super confident in bringing Mick Abel up to, you know, help the staff. And he came up, and I would say I know he wasn't great against the Mets last time out, but I would say he's been good for what they've needed from him. I think with Mick Abel, so I would say the same thing with Justin Crawford. So I think at this point I'm comfortable and confident that if Justin Crawford came up, that would be the right move from Dave Dombrowski and the front office. I do think that would be the right move. So if you check it out, Dombrowski was on with Jason Stark and Doug Glanville. It's called the Starkville Podcast. And it's with The Athletic. I think it's with The Wind Up, The Athletic. And you can listen to that. Really good stuff. You want to listen to it. Dombrowski giving a lot of insight to what the Phillies might do with the trade deadline. There's a lot of trade deadline content about what Dombrowski might do. And I really found the 2018 Red Sox thing to be interesting. And really, that's what we can expect. And he also said that it's logically, they're going to get a bullpen arm, because they asked him what they're going to need, and he sounds like they're definitely going to. I mean, we already knew this, that they were going to go after bullpen arm or arms. Dombrowski talked about the starting staff. They feel really good about it, but feels like definitely going to add a bullpen arm or arms at the trade deadline. So definitely want to listen to the pod. But also, if you have a subscription to The Athletic, you can also read the article where Stark talked about on the interview and what he kind of took away from it, and talked about the 2018 Red Sox thing as well. So it was a really good, really good insight from that. A couple more things before we get you out of here. On this Thursday, before the Phils play today, at 2:10 p.m., injuries to know about. So Bryce Harper, obviously with the right wrist inflammation. So injury update from yesterday. So expect a return potentially next week. He did a full batting practice session in the cage yesterday. He'll continue ramping up over the next few days. Phillies are not giving a timetable, but if all goes well, trending toward a return next week. Aaron Nola, who's had the right ankle sprain and then stress fracture in the right rib, but we're more focused on the rib now. Again, still expected to return early to mid-August. He threw from 90 feet without any issues yesterday. And after a recovery day today, he's expected to continue a throwing program tomorrow when the Phils head out to Atlanta to start that series with the Braves. All right, today the Phils will face the Houston Astros for the series finale, just try to salvage that last game and at least pick up a game and do not get swept. It will be one of the better starting pitchers in the American League this year, who has been Hunter Brown. Probably could consider him for some Cy Young consideration. Hunter Brown has been incredible this year. He has the best ERA in the American League. His 109 strikeouts are fourth in the American League. He has been unbelievable. His fastball has really been unreal for him. And so Hunter Brown's going to be tough for the Phils today, trying to salvage this last game. But also on the other side, it's going to be Christopher Sanchez. We know how good that Sanchi has been this year as well. So it's going to be Sanchez on the mound for the Phils, Hunter Brown on the other side for the Houston Astros as we go today at 2:10. And of course, you can listen to the game on Sports Radio 94 WIP. So Phils today, 2:10 at the Houston Astros. Around Major League Baseball, so let's look at some scores from yesterday along with the Phils. Let's go around and look at the National League East to start. The Padres shut out the Nationals. Padres were at home against the Nats, and they shut them out 1-0. The Mets, 7-3 win over the Atlanta Braves. And then, as well as the Marlins, got a win over the Giants, 8-5. Game was in San Fran. And then a couple of more scores for you before we get you out of here. White Sox won 7-3. At home over the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Pirates lost to the Brewers 4-2. We saw Jacob Mizorowski and Paul Skeens face off, two of the better young pitchers in baseball. Well, Mizorowski not there with Skeens yet, obviously, but I'm really excited about him. But 4-2 win, Brewers over the Pirates, 4-2 in Milwaukee. The Angels got a 5-2 win over the Boston Red Sox in Anaheim, or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, whatever. It's still in Anaheim, right? Yeah, whatever. The Rangers shut out the Orioles 7-0. Jacob DeGrom took a no-hitter all the way into the eighth inning, I believe. And he lost them. And DeGrom has been unbelievable this year. It has really been unbelievable. I mean, Lord. Also, a couple more scores before we get you out. Athletics shut out the Tigers 3-0 in Detroit. Cleveland got a 5-4 win over the Blue Jays in Cleveland. Yankees were away in Cincinnati, got a 7-1 win. The Royals got shut out at home 3-0 with the Tampa Bay Rays. Another shutout. Minnesota 2-0 over the Seattle Mariners in Minnesota. And another one. So keep going. The Cubs 8-0 shutout over the Cardinals in St. Louis. And then one more, the Dodgers with an 8-1 win over the Rockies. All right, that will do it for me, Francisco Rojas, another episode of Phillies Today. Stay tuned. Everyone else doing a great job on the channel. Every day of the week, you can listen to the pod. That'll do it for me, Francisco Rojas, and I will talk to you guys soon.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.